In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Today we're going to be speaking about the Eucharist. St. Paul tells us the cup of blessing that we bless. Is it not a participation in the blood of Jesus Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Therefore, he tells us that if you take this cup unworthily, you sin against the blood of Christ. If you eat this bread unworthily, you sin against the body of Christ. You cannot sin against the blood of Christ if the blood of Christ is not present. You cannot sin against the body of Christ if the body of Christ is not present. Today, we're going to look not only at what the church believes and what the church really believes, local church I'm talking about, and what you believe and what you really believe. I went to a meeting just last week, and I sat in the back at the end, and a young man comes up to me and tells me, Tom, you are in deep trouble. So I have to find out what trouble I'm in. And he said, I'm going to tell you, you give wrong teachings from the Bible, and you are under the judgment of God, and God is going to judge you for what you say about the Eucharist, because it's not true. It's not the body and blood of Christ. Now, I want to tell you one thing that I can say about this young man. Even though he's completely wrong, he is a man of his conviction. It took a lot of courage for him to come to me. I'm a much older person than he is, okay? It took a lot of courage for him to come to me and say, you are under the judgment of God. Now, people might disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you, this kid can be converted. You want to know why? Because what he says is what he believes, even though it's wrong. What he says is what he believes, even though it's wrong. And he would come to me and say a thing like that, which is a very difficult thing to do. And what he says and what he believes is congruent. Now, of course, he's wrong. But I have to give him credit. And the credit I give him is that he's a man of his conviction. Even though he's wrong, he's a man of his conviction. This is what he believes from the scripture. Let me tell you another story. I was under a tent and I preached about the Eucharist, and everybody left out of the tent. And there was one person, when I called out, will you two leave, just like Jesus said to the apostles, one person who was so angry with me that he left the tent, angry, thinking I was a heretic talking about the body and blood of Christ, that the body and blood of Christ was truly present. He was so angry with me, okay, that he went home and started to read the scriptures, all the scriptures about the body and blood of Christ. You want to know what? He's a Catholic today and spends 5-6 hours before the Eucharist. I'm going to tell you, I would much rather have a person say to me, I am under the judgment of God, which I'm not for that reason, because this is what he believes. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know he's a kid, and I know he feels he's doing the right thing. He's even written me letters. I've read those letters, okay? And I know the poor kid is misled, but he is a man of his conviction. He follows what he believes, even though it's wrong. Now, let's look at the church right now. We talk about, as Catholics, that we truly believe that Jesus Christ is present as Eucharist. Well, let's see if we believe it, okay? All right. The Eucharist is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a participation in the passion of our Lord, passion, death, and resurrection. This is what we believe. But what do we really believe, okay? We lock our churches after Mass is over. All right? What does that tell you? Come on, what does it tell you? If we lock our churches after Mass is over, what does that tell you? We do not want people to come before Jesus Christ, who is truly present as Eucharist. That's what we tell. You see, because you can say what you want to say. You can be the most orthodox person in the whole world and say that this is truly Jesus. The cup of blessing we bless, it is a participation in the blood of Jesus. And the bread we break, it is a participation in the body of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, you lock your church and keep the people from that place, you might believe the right thing, but you really don't believe it. You know why? You've locked the church. That's right. And you've kept people out. Now, if this is really Jesus Christ, and it is, I think we would want to invite people to come and be in his presence. You see, what we believe and what we really believe are two different things. This young boy believed it and really believed it, even though he's wrong. We say Christ is present as Eucharist, and he is. And what do? We lock the church. Do we believe it? I don't think so. Because the Persian rugs are much more important than bringing people before the Eucharist, before Jesus Christ, who is Lord. So you can say you believe, but what you do tells me if you really believe. Now, I'm speaking to a lot of Catholics that you believe that Jesus Christ is present as Eucharist, okay? When's the last time you spent an hour with them before the tabernacle? When's the last time you've spent an hour before him, before the tabernacle, just in silence? You say you believe it, and yet do you avail yourself? Do you find a place where you can go to be in the presence of Jesus Christ as Eucharist? You see, what you say you believe and what you do are two different things. One person might say, I believe in prayer, but they don't pray. Well, they can believe in prayer all they want, but they don't pray. They really don't believe in prayer, honest. You can say you believe that our Lord is present as Eucharist, but you do not go and spend time with him. And so what does that say? You really don't believe it. Let me tell you what happened in our little church just a couple of weeks ago. I was at the Holy Land, and there was a man who had been diagnosed with cancer from Dana-Farber. All right? The tumor was as large as a softball, all right, or a baseball. And the tumor was there, and they believed it was cancer, but they didn't know if it was cancer. You know, these are all the pretests, all the pretests that he had. Okay. He would come into the church before the Blessed Sacrament. I wasn't there. Looking for me to pray with him. All right? Looking for me to pray with him. But I couldn't pray with him. I was in the Holy Land, so God didn't really need me. You want to know why? Because Jesus was there. He was there as Eucharist. And so the young man has three small children. This is the same young man that I spoke about many months ago, that I was in the church very quietly. He didn't see me. And he said, when he came before the Eucharist, to his three little children, I want to tell you that Dad has had a real miracle in his life. Dad should be dead at this point, but Jesus Christ has saved him. And we must always be grateful for what Jesus did for Dad, because, you know, Dad should be dead at this time with all the things that happened in his life. But Jesus Christ saved him. I remember that. It was so touching. This is the same man. Looking for me now, and I'm not there. I'm in the Holy Land. He's got a tumor as large as a baseball in his stomach. So what does he do? He goes before the Eucharist, and he puts his hands on his stomach. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, I know you're here. Jesus, I have three little boys. My boys need a daddy. Would you heal me? Would you heal me? And he would come to the church, I don't know how many times, when nobody was there, before the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus, Would you heal me? Well, they did another test on him, and the day before the operation, he had to clean himself out, which means that he had to take some liquid which would get all the garbage out of him, all the, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay? It was like a fleet thing that he put in himself, all right, to flush himself out for the operation. He gets a call from the doctor at Dana-Farber. I have to see you immediately. He says, I just took the fleet, and that means I have to keep on going to the laboratory. He says, go to the laboratory because I need to see you immediately. And so he went to see the doctor at Dana-Farber. When he went to see the doctor at Dana-Farber, the doctor said, the tumor is gone. I can't believe this. Because they did another test. So what happens is he says, I still want to operate on you because I don't believe it. And the man gave him permission to operate. And when he opened him up in his stomach, he found nothing. Closed him up. After the operation, he said, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. He says, I've seen other things, but not like this. He says, when I went into your stomach, I was sure there was going to be a softball, a tumor, a cancerous tumor. You are completely clean. This is a miracle. This is what we hold back from the people when we lock our doors. That the Eucharistic Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Jesus Christ, the great high priest. He is present as Eucharist. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He hears the petitions of his little people. We say we believe that this is Jesus and we lock our churches. I really wonder if we believe. People have told me they've gone to a mass and they've been thrown out because the janitor has to lock the church. Now, you might say you believe, my friends, but if you do that, you are giving a big, 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 big sign that you have no idea who is present in the sacrament of the altar. That's true. That's true. Thank God our little church was open that day, because that young man did not need Father Tom, but he needed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was ever present there to bring him healing. Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. If I have done nothing else at the Holy Rosary, I have opened the church for people to come and pray. It is a place of prayer. And people find solace and healing in the presence of the Lord. If I have done nothing else, I have done that. We're going to look at some other things about what we say and what we believe, okay? What I say is that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. The source because it's Jesus. The summit because it's the highest sacrament. Because this sacrament is Christ himself, risen from the dead. All right? The celebration of the Eucharist is a participation in the passion of Jesus. Passion, death, and resurrection. I believe that. All right? It is the most important thing that we do all week, especially the Sunday Mass. The Pope says that. I don't say that. And yet I do say that. So if the Sunday Mass is the most important thing all week, there is nothing more important than the Sunday Mass, because it's a participation in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a participation in his saving death and resurrection. It's a participation in heaven. Really? Really? All right? That's what we say. So the priest celebrates the Mass like... Soul American. I don't think he believes. He wants to get through it. People want to get it over with. Because, you know, they don't want to be bothered on a Sunday. Let's do it on a Saturday night. That's the worst thing the church ever did, was to give us the vigil Mass. It's the worst thing. It was supposed to be for exceptions for people who work. Now the holy day, the Sunday, is no longer holy anymore. So the way we celebrate the Eucharist tells the people an awful lot. It tells the people whether we really believe that it's a participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you this. I went to a communion service that the Protestants had a couple of weeks ago at the revival. Now, I couldn't receive communion. But this is what the Protestant minister said. This is truly Jesus. Now, I know it's not truly Jesus. But they drank the wine out of a little paper cup. And I'm thinking, if it's truly Jesus, you better put Jesus in better than a paper cup, you know? But we have all the accoutrements, all the gold cups. But he had more reverence for the symbol they were receiving than most people have for the reality that we receive. He said to the people, do not come up here if you are wrong, if you're not right with God, because it will be an offense against you. We have people coming to church chewing gum while they're receiving the Eucharist. Nothing is said. People dressed like sluts, as if this was a brothel. The way we act as we receive the Eucharist says an awful lot. It says an awful lot. When you go to a Nigerian Mass, where these beautiful black people come dressed up to kill because they are going to receive their Lord. But now, you see, the Eucharist has become commonplace, very commonplace. It really doesn't hold any water because look at the way we dress. We come up with gum in our mouth. There's talking in the church. There's no time for meditation that we've received the body and blood of the Lord. This is the summit and source of our faith. This is Jesus Christ himself under the form of bread. So we can say we believe these things, but the way we live condemns us. It condemns us. We close our churches. Many places wants to get them out. Herd them in and herd them out in an hour. Well, listen, the parking lots will be full. And let's have a raffle on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yet at the communion service that I went to, and I did not participate, they had more reverence for a symbol than we have for the reality. That's very sad. That's very sad. So we say we believe, but you know what? The Lord knows if we really do. Like when you go to church, how are you dressed? How are you dressed when you go to church? Are you going to meet your Lord dressed in the way you should be dressed? Now, I know clothing doesn't say everything, but it does say something. When I was in school, in a government school in Boston, from grade 1 until grade 12, we had to wear a tie and a shirt. Because it said something, that we were going to do something important. Therefore, we had to dress for it. What is more important than the Sunday liturgy? Let's go on. We believe that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. It is Christ. And then the communities have had all their basketball, hockey, soccer practice on a Sunday. And what did the church do about it? Nothing. So our people got stolen from, because now all the practices happen on a Sunday and our children don't come to Mass. And how did the priests and pastors respond? We didn't. Don't tell me you believe that this is the Lord Jesus Christ who gives himself for us. When we allowed the world to take over our holy day. And when the stores all started to open, what did the church do? Nothing. That shopping is the greatest thing that happens on a Sunday. Go to the malls and you'll see the false temples. People going to worship materialism. What did the church do? Nothing. Oh yeah, we say we believe. But you know what? I can say anything I want. But if I don't put my life behind it, I don't believe it. I tell you, that boy that said to me, I'm under judgment, can be converted. Because what he says and what he believes, even though he's wrong, he can be converted. Because he is a man of integrity. Let's continue to look. We say that people should really go to daily Mass, and that's beautiful. So let me ask you, what time do we have daily Mass for the most part? 9 o'clock in the morning. That's right. And who can go to Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning? I'll tell you who. Retired people. We don't make a time most places, but there are some. Very early or in the evening. So people cannot go to Mass because they have to work. But you see, it's all about the schedule of the priest. You see, has nothing to do with the people. It's all about the priest. The priest has to celebrate at 9 o'clock, get it over with, I guess. Just get it over with, you know? Rather than making time for the working people. Whether they come or not is not our business, but that we invite people is our business. You understand what I'm saying? What we say we believe and how we respond in real life are two different things. Just 2 days ago, we had the Feast of Corpus Christi. The church says that Corpus Christi should be celebrated with processions and hymns and incense going throughout the streets with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church says. We did it. I've been doing it for years, okay? I've been doing it for years because that's what the church says. You know, I might have a lot of problems with the church, but when she teaches rightly, whether we follow it or not. I might have a lot of problems with the institutional church, and I do. But when she teaches correctly. And so the church says on Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She gives us this feast because on Holy Thursday, which is the experience of our Lord giving us the Eucharist, and we cannot really spend great time because at 12 o'clock everything finishes because it's the Passion of the Lord. So the church gives us this great feast after Trinity Sunday so that people could come and worship the Lord as Eucharist, where processions could be held, where people would be singing, where people would be chanting, where people would be praying, where people could come before the Eucharistic Lord and adore him.
I thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I want to remind you of our Glory Revival, our Revival Glory at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. between July 18th and July 22nd. July 18th and July 22nd. There will be evening sessions and morning sessions. The evening session will go from 7 to 11. That's every day. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The morning session will go from 10 to 2. 10 to 2. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it's $50 for the whole 5 days. And if you can't afford 50, you do whatever you can. But this is where you mail your checks to. Make it out to Holy Rosary. And the mailing address is Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass. Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass, 02152. Father Tom, care of Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass, 02152. I also want to tell you that I need to hear from you during these summer days so that we can get these bills paid. And I'm very grateful to you and especially to the Lord for really giving us everything that we've needed. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass, 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass, 02128. And don't forget, it'll be pouring rain because thunderstorms happen and rain on your head. And Jimmy the roofer is the best. And his telephone number is, if you need a roof, and you know what? He won't give you a whole roof. It just needs a repair. He's into just being truthful. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. That's Jimmy the roofer. 617-519-0341. Pray for Father Tom. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.